Our first scripture readings are from Matthew and Luke. Let us listen for the word of God. First from Matthew 13, 44 through 45. The kingdom of heaven is like treasures hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And from Luke 22, 39 to 42, he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will be yours be done." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next gospel reading comes to us from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Let us listen to the word of God. Jesus said, "Pray then in this way, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we're more than halfway through our sailing adventure. We only have 2 weeks left. Now, the truth of the matter is, sailing isn't an easy task. Not everyone's cut out to be a sailor, but it's just the reality. It takes a lot of effort. But somehow, when we realize it's coordinated with the Holy Spirit, it makes it a little easier. And while making sailors is important, the book spends an entire chapter on it out of the 10. I feel there's something more pressing for our congregation today. It's something we just shared and talk about. At least in our head, most of us have being a sailor figured out. We trust in Jesus as our captain. On a day like Super Bowl Sunday, Jesus is our coach. We follow him. Yet it's a lot easier said than done. In order to be a sailor, we've got to completely trust Jesus. Sailors are people who intentionally commit to this mission and put themselves under the authority of the Lord and head of the church, Jesus Christ. We sail not to increase giving or to recruit more members. We sail because Jesus calls us to be sailors. And when we become sailors, we not only want to learn what Jesus knows, but we want to become like Jesus. The parable about the pearl and the treasure in the field that we heard remind us that we found something in Jesus that's so valuable that it's worth giving up everything else in order to attain it. So many would-be sailors miss the boat because they're not willing to be completely dependent upon God. Now, every time I see a baby like Ruthie Chipman, who's now 9 months old, or like Alyssa Shepherd, who's just over a year, I'm reminded of how dependent babies are on their parents. And that's how we have to be, dependent upon God, just like babies are to their parents. It means we have to trust in the Holy Spirit. We have to know that in our core, Christ is more valuable than everything else, and that we aren't in control, but the Holy Spirit is. We equip ourselves for this challenging call by putting on the whole armor of God. We all understand armor is protective clothing, and won't shield us from experiencing hardships, but it will protect us from harm and from the adversary. One of the things we have to do if we want to be a sailboat church is to recognize that prayer is the mainsail. It's what connects us to the Holy Spirit. It's what reminds us that we're not in control, but God is. It's the only thing that can keep us from rowing. We pray together on Sundays really well, and then we go off to our busy lives. Some of us pray faithfully at home, and then we come back, pray together again the next Sunday. Reverend Gray writes, "If you want to know whether a congregation is living as a sailboat or rowboat, ask about its practice of prayer. Prayer saturates the lives of leaders and members in the sailboat church. On Sunday mornings here, we pray a lot. But communally, it's one of the only times in the week we pray together. If it's the mainsail, we've got to have more prayer. And if we don't, we'll end up rowing a lot. When prayer's the mainsail, we discover we're not content with what we can do with our own resources, wisdom, and strength. Now, God's chosen prayer is the main way God's power flows from heaven to earth. Prayer about intimate relation. It's about intimate relationship, and this kind of relationship always transforms. Prayer transforms us to do God's will rather than ours. Every week, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, one of the most essential parts of the prayer is this little phrase, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As we continue to give ourselves to do what Jesus wants, He promises to provide what we need to do His will. And little by little, as we pray, we are changed into people who want God to be at the center of their lives. Now, most of us live in a culture and a time where we want to be in control, or we need to be comfortable. And we'll work even against God's transformative power to be in control and even to be uncomfortable because we don't like change. How many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Yet a different word for change is transformation. It's just a nuance of the word, but think about not change, but transformation. And if we're honest in prayer, honest in our relationship with God, we'll be asking to do God's will and not ours. And then we'll follow the will of the Holy Spirit without worrying about control or comfort, and we'll welcome God's transformative powers. I want to encourage you, each of you, to be more intentionally involved in prayer. When I was in my 20s, I left for Kenya for a year-long mission. For an entire year, I prayed for wisdom. According to James, all we have to do is ask for wisdom, and God will give it. So that's what I prayed for. I was hoping for wisdom like Solomon. When Solomon began as king, of course, it's after he kills many of his adversaries to get the throne. He travels 7 miles from Jerusalem to Gibeon, and he approaches the sanctuary to offer sacrifice and prayer. According to one scholar, King Solomon followed an ancient Near East practice of sleeping in the sanctuary in hopes of receiving a divine message. And that night, when he's sleeping in the sanctuary, in a dream, God asks him what he wants more than anything. And Solomon humbly requests from God wisdom. Not gold or power, but wisdom. Somehow he learned over the years from his father to follow God's ways, and he desired a way to discern God's will, to have wisdom in order to govern, and God gave him wisdom like no other. That's what I wanted. I was young when I went to Africa, and I figured after a year in Africa doing God's work and praying, certainly by the end of it, I would be wiser, ready for seminary. However, 11 months later, I didn't feel much like Solomon. I didn't seem to be any wiser than when I had arrived. Yet at the end of my year, my supervisor, the Reverend Phyllis Ochilo, presented me a gift. It's a three-legged stool, about this tall. And she said African elders long ago would sit on these stools and they would make important decisions for the community. While you might not feel wiser, Jonathan, you certainly have learned many new things. Not only about the people here, but also about yourself. All I could remember at the time were the many stupid things I'd done throughout the year. The time when a kid asked for money and I didn't give it to him because I could tell he was high on drugs, yet my Kenyan friend stepped in and bought him some food. Or when I almost got mugged, at the last minute I found a safe store to hide in and be protected. The reality is, I was changed, even though I didn't know it at the time. And years later, I realized that my supervisor was right. I'd prayed for wisdom, and I had gained it. Maybe not like Solomon, but I realize you don't have to go off to a far exotic place like Africa to help folks. There's so much need around us. All we have to do is open our eyes. Some of our neighbors right next door to us are struggling. Don't have to go far to help them. I was talking to someone about how hard it is to let go of control, and she told me a story about how she was facing a crisis, and she was certain God provided her an answer. Her prayer was simple, "Not my will, but yours be done." She prayed and she prayed, but she didn't get what she wanted, by no fault of her own. But finally, God provided something better at the last minute, even better than what she had asked for. And she said, "God has a plan for us. We might not always see the good in it, but if we worry about it, then we're not trusting God's plan." I know God has incredible things in store for our congregation, and all we need to do is ask for God's help through prayer, to trust God has great things in store for us. We don't have to be proficient in prayer. All we need to do is say a simple prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done." When we raise the mainsail of prayer and let God be in charge, even if it means change, not all Presbyterians like that word, God will transform us, working ways we can't even imagine. And God will be moving our sailboat church as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.